Dr. Pokhrajak is an associate professor at Delaware State University whose specialties scare the heck out of me: applied mathematics and data mining and bioinformation systems. As a musician, the word math just terrifies me. But he also has a passion for Balkan folk music and is going to speak to us today about the recordings of Mijat Mijatovic.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming to listen to this presentation. This is the result of the joint work with my friends, Mr. Sasha Spasevich and Milan Milovanovic. And actually what you can see, but hopefully now you can see, we founded an NGO, which is named All Sound, a couple of years ago. And our goal is to do better research of the ethnic musics of the Balkans, and also in collaboration with some other people, the influence of the ethnic music on Balkans on actually ethnic music in the United States of the minorities from South Europe and so on and so forth. The topics of today's lecture is Mijat Mijatovic, who is arguably the most famous Serbian singer from the period between the First and the Second World War. And we will have a lot of musical examples here. First, we will see here an introduction from one of the records, which was recorded for Colombia. And we will actually hear the voice of Mijat Mijatovic talking to the band leader, whose name was Stevica Nikolic. So let's hear that. And first, there is some musical intro.
A, dobar večer, gozumijate.
Zdravo, Stevo.
Što ste tako neraspoloženi?
More, nisam neraspoložen, nego šta ste zapeli taj mađarski tango, bogati? Redovo naše, zašto, sike, zašto?
Onda, gozumijate.
E, to, Stevo. So let's first a little bit talk about geography and history of the region so that we can better understand the times of Mijat Mijatovic. This map actually shows Europe and shows actually a big blob, which is basically Austro-Hungary, which was on the north and on the west boundary of the Serbia. And Serbia is the country which we basically see here. What happened? This was basically geography like about till the end of the 19th century. And after the First World War, a bigger country, which was named Yugoslavia, formed. And Serbia became basically the largest part of that country named Yugoslavia. Mijat Mijatovic was born in a city which name is Belgrade, which is in Serbia. And he spent pretty much the whole life in Belgrade. We can see here for illustration a couple of pictures from Belgrade. This is the assembly building currently. This is one of the coffee shops. Coffee shops were very important for social life, and currently still they are very important for the social life. But what is very important for us, they were important venues for performing artists, singers, where actually they can sing in front of the audience. The problem, which I would like to actually discuss, apart from the obvious problem of the size of this slide, which I will try to correct now, okay. The obvious problem which we have while doing research on discography and sound recording in Serbia is basically the lack of organized academic effort or interest for this kind of research. And this is the thing which us, and I mean, I must say, we are amateurs. I'm not educated to be a musician, or much less to be a historian. The problem is the ethnomusicologists are not interested for popular and recorded music. And it's very difficult to break into academic circles. The lack of academic academic support, actually, in turn, makes our research, I would say, very important for the culture of the region, for the tradition, if you will. As a consequence of this, there is no discography of the pre-Second World War performers. I'm extremely happy to hear and see here abundance of information we have about particular recording labels like Victor or others. Unfortunately, there is no such kind of information available for the recording labels, or at least for some recording labels, which were very active in the region during that time. Another very big problem was the unfortunate situation with respect to history. The Second World War meant large destruction of everything there. And if you add upon that the destruction in the recent wars, there is no wonder not too many artifacts survived. We can see on the right side, there was a large, basically it was warehouse, and Ilich and Andreevich were the people who were actually representatives of Odeon in Serbia and Yugoslavia. They had their warehouse, they were actually licensed Odeon products, and this is what happened with their warehouse after the 1941 air raid. Luckily, one of our co-authors, Mr. Milovanovic, was able to find some relatives of Ilich and Andreevich and actually get some information. But what was bad, about 100,000 phonograph records they had on their storage was destroyed in a single air raid. As a consequence, now we basically do not have some of their records. The resources for studying this kind of field, as we all know, include private collections, also libraries, museums, and archives. I put here a couple of libraries which we visited, consulted, and so on and so forth, which also includes, of course, EMI archives, which we plan to visit again. What is good, there seem to be preserved matrices for some of the recorders in Czech Republic. This was basically the site of the HMV affiliate there. Also, archives of broadcasting organizations presumably have some of the recordings. The problem which we encountered with some of these recordings is that they are on the archival tapes. Specifically, the Belgrade radio television, which is the state-owned television there, does have couple of dozens recordings of this singer, Mijat Mijatović, but the person who did sometimes upon a time transfers on the tapes didn't bother to write down when it was recorded, from which record it was taken, and so on and so forth. So now we have a situation having a bunch of recordings which we need somehow to match with records which we didn't hear. And I will play a couple of these recordings later. Nevertheless, we are trying to do our job. Let's say a couple of words about Mijat Mijatović. He was born in Belgrade on the 3rd of February, 1887. He lived there, and he died the 25th of June, 1937. He was a lawyer by profession, working first as a paralegal, then worked as a secretary of the court, and finally he had a private law practice. He participated in the First World War. There is evidence in some memoirs that he crossed, there was a huge march of Serbian army from Albania to Thessaloniki. He participated in this march, and there's some evidence in memoirs about that. His musical career includes participation in several singer associations. We put here a couple of them, Belgrade Singer Association, Academic Singer Association, Obilić. Also, he was a famous radio singer. I will discuss about that a little bit later. Belgrade Radio started its broadcast in 1924. First, actually, it was a radio telegraph station which had programmed three times a week, and he was one of the regular singers. He usually was singing accompanied by a piano, and there is, again, evidence about that, like radio programs, also some critique in newspapers and so on and so forth. In addition to the songs from Balkans, he was a singer of Czech, Greek, English songs, which we will pretty much all hear today on the presentation. A couple of pictures of Mr. Mijatović. Some of them are dated, majority of them are not dated. These are two obituaries from his
when he died. Basically, we found obituaries from two major newspapers there. And this is the authentic picture of his grave, which was identified with one of my quarters. So what did he sing? And this is probably what interests us the most. His repertoire was very broad, and we tried to actually split the repertoire into several areas, and we will give a bunch of examples from some of these areas. I would say the most important part of his repertoire was songs from South Serbia and Macedonia. Now, I say South Serbia and Macedonia, and the main problem here is to really distinguish what is what. How it happened. In 1912, after the first Balkan Wars with Turks, Serbia liberated Macedonia. Or interpretation of Macedonian historians, Serbia occupied Macedonia. And they called, officially Macedonia was called South Serbia. There are some songs which we really try to figure out whether they come for genuine South Serbia, which is basically the south of today's Serbia, or whether they came from Macedonia. I don't want to be a judge. And some of the, you may hope you may judge based on language. Yes, you may hope, but the dialects are close. And it's very difficult. Better ethnomusicology analysis would probably help figuring out the more precise region some song actually belongs. But let's, instead of discussing it, let's hear a couple of examples. The first song I'm going to play is called When I Was Oh Georgie, and basically talks about a guy who was kind of in middle ages, and he talks how he traveled along when he was younger, and how he visited all the old Serbia and Macedonia. This is what the lyric says. It's also performed by famous orchestra Stevica Nikolic. This song, as a couple of others from this page, came from the radio tapes, so we still did not exactly identify from which record it came. The second song is called Bozgia. Boza was a non-alcoholic beverage, which was actually sold. It's still sold, it's very old, old-fashioned. It's actually of Oriental origin. And we are pretty much sure that the origin of this song is the city of Nish, which we can see here on the left side, which is by some chance my hometown. This is the place where I spent my youth, okay? And what we can hear at the end of this part, which we're going to play, we're going to hear people saying, America, America. And I really don't know why, but I mean, it's very funny. Ja su mi biš, bozađa. No sam boza, vo Srbija. Yes, the next song is very interesting, and that's the reason why I put it there. That's a Serbian song, I would say. Oh, there is some probability it's Macedonian. But the song talks about a Turkish town named Jedrene, Adrianopolis, and actually talks about some presumably historical event which happened in the 15th century, when the Serbian princess named Mary was actually given to a sultan or whatever Ottoman Turkish dignitary. What would be extremely interesting is why this song was actually popular in those times. And when I say those times, I actually refer to the beginning of the 20th century. Although Miet died in 1937, I would say that he was a typical man of the pre-World War I Serbia. He was a pretty much, this is how I perceive him based on his songs, okay?
obviously I didn't have a chance to meet him. I perceive him as a man who was pretty much old-fashioned guy. And the changes after the First World War really influenced a lot the culture there. And I mean, we can find that out by reading journals, newspapers, and so on and so forth. So the next song is about the Adrianopolis. And again, Mijat Mijatović has all the recordings today. I hope you heard that great sound of violin at the end of this recording. Okay, the next song, that's also an interesting song. It's probably sort of historic, but actually essentially talks about a Turkish lady who got pregnant by a German. We don't know what the German did there. Maybe he was working on the railroads, because their railroads, of course, it started later than the rest of Europe. The first railroads were built 1884, and then, of course, the rest of the railroad was built to the Turkey. So it might be simply a nice song, but the reason why I'm playing this song is because of the fabulous Mijat's voice, which we will hear. Mrka je bila na ne, prevarila se. Zato bi se krnale, ile prepiju. Zato bi se krnale, ile prepiju. Yes, and yes, he did have musical education. There is some evidence later in these recordings. The next song is Macedonian. It talks about city Struga, which is on the south of Macedonia, and there is a beautiful lake there. Let's give a free advertisement. talks about somebody who would love to have a store there and to spend quality time. The reason I chose this song is because of the piano, a piano which accompanies the singer. This is one of rare examples of the piano and orchestra having pretty much equal parts in accompanying the singer. Usually it's either a piano or just an orchestra, but here we have this specific case. This came from Edison Bell Pencala record. Unfortunately, the guy who did transfer didn't bother to write the number. Okay, the next, let me just go next page. Mijat's repertoire also included songs from Bosnia. Bosnia used to be a central part of Yugoslavia before it used to belong to Austro-Hungary. It was recently a place of, unfortunately, civil war, and hopefully they will recover. Mijat loved to sing their songs. The first song, this is what we see on the right side, and I'm sorry for switching back and forth, but simply the problem is with the incompatibleness of the screen and the projector. So what we see on the right side is the city of Sarajevo, sometimes from 1920s. I'm going to first play the song, which name is Ravno polje, žao mi je nate, oh flat field, I'm so sorry.
talks about a boy who departs from his girl. A lot of these songs are, of course, love songs. And a lot of these songs are sorry, which is kind of sorrow and sorry, which is kind of in the Balkan tradition. Okay, Ravno Polje. It's said to be one of the most favorite songs of Mijat Mijatović himself. The next one, Pošeta Lana Pelivana, we'll hear on some of the future slides. Then I will play Kradem ti se u večere. I'm coming under your window in the evening. Why I'm playing this? Because I want to show the difference and similarity between two performances of Mijat Mijatović of the same song. Unlike some of the other songs from the period and from the area, Mijat was re-recording his songs over and over again for different labels, or as we will see and hear later, even for the same label, which gives us a unique perspective to study his singing. Kradem ti se večere, first from Victor 80511B, which we strongly believe is actually the same as one of the, his master's voice records.
Kradem ti se u večere kraj penzere, kradem ti se u večere kraj penzere.
And then the same song for Edison. Edison Bell Penkala. Edison Ben Penkala was a local label which was actually active in Zagreb, starting, Zagreb is the, now the capital of Croatia, that then it was part of the same country of Yugoslavia. It started in 1926, it was a subsidiary of Edison Bell from Great Britain. What you will hear in this and some other Edison Bell Penkala records, they are not properly recorded, and they basically used coarse grain shellac. As a result, these records are more noisy than some other records. But let's listen to music and not to noise.
Kradem ti se u večere kraj penzere.
What is really nice and why I absolutely love these two recordings, the way how this song is now sung. I mean, people still sing this as a folk song. Although I would doubt it was actually originally a folk song, at least somebody was to actually do that translation for piano and so on and so forth. I love the way how he sings this, because the way how he sings this is not now to be heard anywhere. So the recordings preserved something. Next part of his repertoire comes from Vojvodina. Vojvodina is part of the northern part of Serbia now. That's basically a region which was under strong Hungarian influence, and there is some significant Hungarian minority, Czech minority, and some other minorities there, Slovak too. This song is called Sagradiću šajku, I will build a little river boat. Sorry.
Gradiću šajku, od suvoga Marku ću osim sira, a svi lena jedra. Kaharku ću osim sira, a svi lena jedra.
This song was recorded about 4 or 5 times in total. The next part are romances and city songs. I will first play one of the earliest recordings, which was recorded for Gramophone Concert Record. We actually know the exact recording date, which is the 8th of March, I believe, of 1910.
I noć sam pio iz bokala, od jutro za mi prsne glava, al ja znam one mudre reći, sile Roma murluk se leći, al ja znam one mudre reći, sile Roma murluk se leći.
Yes, so he said that he was drinking the whole night from a cup, and now he needs to recover, so the best way to recover is to drink more wine. And believe it or not, I'm not sure whether I should follow his advice. Let's try. Okay, that is still popular, I would say. Not only because of the message, maybe because of the message, who knows? The next one is Imam jednu želju, I have one wish. It was accompanied by orchestra of Stevica Nikolić. We have two versions of the same song, same orchestra, for two different labels, and we were listening this several times, pretty much below, this is a different recording. And different record, yeah.
Nešto mene bola, samo mi se srcu rana,
and then for Colombia. I don't know what happened with his voice in the second recording. Probably he tried to apply the advice from the first record, okay? The next is I Love You, Oh Beautiful Girl. Again, Ja te ljubim, Djevo Mila. It was recorded several times, different versions. Here we will hear HMV/Victor version. Oh, I love you, a beautiful girl more than a falcon loves his nest, more than a butterfly loves the whole and the whole flower. That was the lyrics. And let me just say what is on this picture. The picture above shows some of Bohemians at the beginning of the 20th century, I believe. And this is the current view on one of the coffee shops there, which is very famous, and the name is Three Hats. As we can see, Three Hats here. Okay, important part of Mijat's repertoire includes various songs by Serbian composers. One of probably the best composers from the first half of the 20th century, whose name is Stanislav Binički, who, by the way, has very Czech last name, I would say. He actually wrote seven songs named Mijatovke. That was a cycle of songs which Mijat enjoyed to sing and to record. Also, he recorded some other songs, for instance, from another composer, Mokranjac, and also some other songs from Isidor Bajić, who was also very famous then, and the lyrics was written by Aleksa Šantić, who was by himself a name. Next part are something which I call conditionally contemporary songs. These are the songs which were different from the other folk and romance songs. I believe these songs are more contemporary to his time. So I believe these songs were actually composed or written, or simply people started singing then sometimes about in the 20th or the 30th of the 20th century. And finally, Mijat participated in skits. There is one recording of, it's kind of semi-live, a recording of actors Čiče Ilijastanović and Žanka Stokić. And basically then he actually sings a little one part of one of the songs. Next, which I would like to show here, is actually his link to other cultures. Hungarian songs were, and some of them are still popular in the region. Here he sings the song which is called Ruzmarine moj zeleni, or Rosemary my green, which was composed by Antal Ivan, and it was recorded for Edison Bell and their noise.
Kraj izvora vode sladana, gde sam s dragom dolazio, slatke čase provodi.
Now comes the discovery. Mijat actually became a kind of legend there. And when you become a legend, then a lot of things which used to be truth now becomes like not exactly truth. So when people were remembering of Mijat on radio and TV programs, and actually I put two of them at the reference at the end of the paper, of the end of the presentation, people were saying that Mijat was singing operatic areas and songs, but unfortunately nothing was preserved. Well, we ultimately found some of examples in catalogs. What we still didn't found is the actual record which contains Elisir di Amore by Donizetti. Interestingly, it was recorded, or it was issued, not certain, for both his master's voice and Edison Bell Pinkala. Why? Why one and only operatic piece was issued for two houses? Was it popular? If it was popular, how come it was not preserved? It's very open and interesting question. We unfortunately do not know the answer. What we found is a song by Grieg, a famous Norwegian composer. And it's translated into Ja te ljubim, or I love you. We can easily find a bunch of covers of the same thing on YouTube if you wish.
As I mentioned, the Miat participated in the First World War, and he was in Thessaloniki with the rest of the Serbian army, which survived the Long March. And we believe he there somehow got in touch with, definitely there were French soldiers there. But we believe he might have got in touch with some Britishers too, because he chose to sing Somewhere Voices Calling by Tate. And we were very lucky to find his master's voice version of this. Again, this appears also on Edison Bell Penkala. We couldn't find that record yet, so we cannot justify whether it's the same recording or not. His links to the Czech Republic are obvious. Actually, one of the pictures which I've shown shows Mijat Mijatović in Marijanske Lazne, which was Marienbad, which was a very famous spa, and still is very famous spa in the Czech Republic. Also, as we will see later, he recorded in Czech Republic, and he chose to sing a song, Teče voda teče, which I read somewhere was a very famous, very favorite song of Tomáš Masaryk, who was the president of the Czech Republic, the first president of the Czech Republic. We found two versions. I will play a part of one of them. Was about the repertoire. So I will just very briefly show some of the catalogs which contain Mijat Mijatović recordings. Look at that nice baby. Yes, he or she, although it's probably only one or two, still enjoys in Odeon records there. Okay. Mijat performed with several performance. Famous orchestra include the orchestra of Stevica Nikolic, which seems to be my favorite based on the choice of the music which I'm playing today. Also, there is an orchestra of Pajo Todorović, Savo Milković, Dušan Popaz, Jovo Jare. We are not exactly sure about the last name of the guy because his last name, as we it's listed on records, basically means little goat. So we believe that's actually a nickname. But there are some other performers from the time which are known only by nicknames, like Little Mary, Mara, Mala Mara. Nobody knows what is her name. And when I say nobody knows, one of the co-authors has been performing research the last 20 years in newspapers and available literature. Also, there is an orchestra of Georgi Georgievich. What is sad story about some of these people? I know about time. I've been thinking about that. Okay, good, wonderful. Majority of these band leaders, being gypsy,
seem to have disappeared in the Second World War. Dušan Popaz did not. We will hear him a little bit later. He survived the war, and that's basically pretty famous music family there. Still, there are some of his grandsons and granddaughters alive. But, for instance, nothing is known positively about Stevica Nikolić. We don't know what happened with him. We believe he died during the Second World War. And that's a really sad story, I would say. Pianists. I've shown here pictures of two of the pianists, piano players. Miroslav Binički is a lady who plays piano on some of the records. You might have remembered the last name. Binički is exactly the composer who composed Mijatovke, and Miroslav Binički was his wife. Also, there is Jovan Serbulj, who actually, as far as I could remember, played in the Philharmonic, and also Professor Aleksandar Ruch, originally a Russian immigrant. There was a huge influx of Russian immigrants on the Balkans, especially in Yugoslavia, after the October Revolution. And Professor Ruch was one of them. Next, let's discuss a little bit about discography as such. The earliest known recordings of Mijatović happened in Belgrade on March the 8th and March the 10th, 1910. The recording was performed by a sound engineer named Franz Hampe, and there are 16 known recorded sites. What is not exactly known is whether all of these sites were actually issued on records. I will play another. I already played one with Jova Jare. Now I am going to play another one, Legnem Bolan. I am sick and I need to go to bed. It is concert gramophone record, and 10-12-915 is the matrix number. Best Mijat, I would say, was on his master's voice recordings. We know three sessions. One was in Prague, July 13th and 14th, 1927. The second one was in Belgrade, December the 5th and 6th, 1927, with piano. And the third one was in Belgrade, 1929, with gypsy orchestra and also with piano. I will play now not this record, which is shown here, which is Biljana Platno Beleše. I will play another song, which I already mentioned, a Bosnian song, Pošetala Ana Pelivana, could be also found as Pošetala Hana Pehlivana, because according to the current Bosnian language, they try to add H anywhere they want, because that makes their language different from Serbian and Croatian. And in Balkans, they want to separate languages. We used to have one which was called Serbo-Croatian, now we have five. And we understand each other. Yeah. So, Pošetala Ana Pelivana, first with piano, which is from Prague 1927 session. Sorry.
Avam posetala Anna Pelivana. Anna Pelivana. Avam pokraj dvora Tir dulcka petana. Oh.
now, great discovery. How we found this record? We actually found this record before we actually found the catalog. 2006, there was some sort of a lecture, which was, among other people, attended by a lady who is a cousin of Mijat Mijatović. Mijat Mijatović didn't marry, didn't have kids, and she was the close relative to him. She's a lady in her, I would say, 80s or 70s, probably 80s at that time. So she brought to the lecture a record, which I'm going to play now.
Ama posetala Ana Lape Livjiva Ana Aj Gide Ivana Ama pokraj kora Tid dulceka
Obviously, some speed correction is needed, but what we strongly believe is that this record contains two voices of Mijat Mijatović. One voice of Mijat Mijatović comes from the record AM834, and he sung on top of this recording. And remember, it was April the 9th, 1929. As far as we know, this is the earliest and one of very rare attempts of these kind of things in Serbia before the Second World War. And as you could have heard, I believe it was quite successful. Mijat Mijatović had a lot of recordings of Edison Bell Penkala label in Zagreb. Just a brief extent of a piano version of Kad sam bil Mori Đurđo. This piano version is actually composed, transcribed for piano by Binički. And there is some probability it was actually played by his wife. Okay, I will briefly go through other labels. Columbia, both American and European Columbia. Very briefly playing the only That was with orchestra of Dušan Popas. Also, Odeon, Homochord Electro. We will try to find, we currently know for two records, and we couldn't really find a corresponding catalog of Homochord Electro. We suppose he recorded more for them, but there is something to be explored. And finally, there are reissues on Victor of his master's voice. Radio recordings. Not known and not likely that there were radio recordings because the recording equipment in Belgrade Radio was purchased too late. Mijat basically got ill in 1935 and there is no evidence that he recorded anything after 1935. Belgrade Radio got recording equipment, I believe, 1937. Movie appearances, yes, there is one known documentary shorty where we can actually see and hear Mijat. Unfortunately, I couldn't get to the part here. A number of open problems, which I would really, really like just to touch and to finish this presentation. Scarcity of sources, of data, inconsistent data, missing data, catalogs. We found the catalog which doesn't have real catalog numbers, but they had their internal catalog numbers, so let's match. Collections are scattered. to really get, we have pretty much, I would say, probably more than 50% of his recordings in this or another form, in electronic form, in different file formats, actual records. We are trying to get more, and what we would love to do, actually, is to try to locate masters as possible, and in some foreseeable future, basically means before we die, try to publish the definite version of Mijat Mijatović on whatever would be current record, CD or whatever. I'd like to thank my friends and friends of my friends who helped this National Library of Serbia, University of Helsinki, Professor Grono and Dr. Risto-Pekka Penanen, Mr. Gabriel Gossel, Mr. Adolf Knoll, the great collectioner, the great record lover, Mr. Steven Kozoberic from Cleveland, Ohio, and again, Ms. Vesna Aleksandrovic from National Library of Serbia. Some of these records were actually transferred from their holdings. And pretty much acknowledgement to the Serbian Ministry of Culture, which gave us plenty of money, $1,500 for this research. And this is pretty much all. Here we are, co-authors and friends. Thank you very much. The second guy, I don't know what happened. What I heard the first day that he had some family emergency or any other emergency, so uncle, whatever his uncle.
He couldn't make it.
He couldn't make it, yeah.
But I have met him a couple of times in Austria and in Germany, and I explained to him that I have the Odeon letters, actually the recording letters for Linz.
That would be fantastic. Now I understand your question. You ask about this guy, the third co-author, Milan, with glasses. Yeah, he participated in Lindstrom Project Conference 2008. He absolutely couldn't make it, but we actually talked yesterday. I would be glad to talk to you a little bit after this, may exchange cards, and I will definitely.
I happened to be in Ottawa about 20, 25 years ago when a lady by the name of Fook donated her late husband's estate to the library in Canada. Now, Mr. Fook has been the owner, manager, recording engineer, and A&R man for Edith of Bell on the entire Balkans. And she donated crates and crates. All the recording letters, pressings, test pressing, mind-boggling material, which was not processed by the National Sound Archive of Canada, because the contents had nothing to do with Canada, except that the prisoner happened to live in Canada at the time. So you should, by all means, go to Ottawa and ask to have a look at the estate. Because I'm quite sure you will find all the details of any record ever made by Nitya for that label. And there are chances you will also find the records and even test records.
That will be fantastic. Actually, Mr. Milovanović communicated this. I think he already learned that from you. We talk about that now. I recall this. I absolutely plan to go to Ottawa when I have chance to actually do research on that. That's a very important thing, especially because although in theory Edison Bell Pencara holdings in Zagreb should have been preserved, because the company essentially, although it was formally under bankruptcy, survived the Second World War. But what happened then is very, very vague and difficult, and it's very difficult to access the archives of Croatia Record, which is basically the successor of Edison Bell Penkala. So I would absolutely love to do that. That would be important because I really believe that some of the best performances, although not technically the best, I mean, sound, of course, has those noises and so on, but I mean, Mijat as a singer with the piano accompaniment is actually the best on Edison Bell Penkala. This is my personal belief. I mean, I've heard a lot, so it's, of course, subjective.
If there are any other questions for Dr. Fugarovic, I'm sure he would be happy to speak with you after the session. Kurt wanted me to remind you that if you have any business to do with the vendors, they're closing up shop at noon, so now would be the time. And thank you so much.
Thank you very much.